And Father, I'm living in days with you and others that are living with you, just incredible days. They really are. I've never been at this place. And I'm so thankful. I am truly thankful, Father. And I'm thankful for all those that are on this journey with me. I'm not the only leader. I'm not the only father. There are fathers elsewhere, and there are fathers and mothers among us. And we're together. We've locked arms. We're headed into a place. It's a place of finality. It's a place of authority. It's a place where no questions are asked. Just an absolute. An absolute. And I'm asking you to take us to this place today, just as a glimpse. Season us. Salt us. Get us more applicable to this place to which you will bring us to in the days ahead. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We're going to receive some meat this morning. Amen. So everybody say this with me. I desire the sincere milk of the word that I may grow thereby. Now, you know, the word does say desire the sincere milk of the word that you can grow there. But say this, but strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. Therefore, Father, feed us with strong meat that we may come to full age. Now, full age means to grow up, to mean to come to full maturity. There's a while, it's perfectly fine for you to be on milk. That's fine in the beginning. I am quite certain, and I believe you are, if you follow the Word of God, that there's three basic categories, not formulas, but three categories for the body of Christ. There are the young, according to 1 John, there are the young men, which would entail, of course, young women as well. And that is not per se ages. It doesn't matter. You can be 75 and be a young one or a young person or young man or young woman in Christ. And that should be because you are beginning in your adolescence. You've just started your walk, or you're a few months or maybe a year into your walk, or a year or so. Then there is the progression that John talks about. There are the young men, and that would entail the young women. And again, age is not the qualifier. And also there is there's the children, I should say. That's the children. I started that one off wrong. There is the children that are just the beginning in their adolescence. And then there's the young men and those that are in that place, which is young women and young men. And it's all about their maturity process. And everybody's expected to go through that maturing process. Then there are fathers. And then there are fathers and mothers of the faith, in which all of you should really be not per age. Age doesn't have anything to do with it. But if you should be progressing to a place where you can handle the word. And the Bible says that we should all be able to give a answer to the hope that lies within us. Not just me in the pulpit, or not just somebody, but, and I think, I started to say we'll do this in days ahead, but I'll never put anybody on the spot, or I'll never embarrass anybody. But really, if you've been around here a while, there should be about 10 different points that, boom, you shouldn't even have to, if people ask you, how do I get saved? You shouldn't say, well, you got your cell phone? Yeah. Well, let me give you my pastor's number. Jesus. If you've been saved any time at all, you should know what scriptures to give somebody and how to lead them to Christ. What about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is it the will of God for everybody? Dear God, you should be able, if you've been around at all, you should say absolutely yes, and here's the scriptures why, and here's how to get, and then if somebody says, I'm sick, how do I get healed? If you've been around here for a few years, and if you say, I'm going to give you my pastor's number, I will pray for him, but you are in trouble. You are in bad trouble. You should have put your hands on them, and you should have told them the hope of the Word of God that is inside of you. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know any scripture. What have you been doing with your time? Dear Lord. My God. Jesus. Oh, now, hallelujah. Let's not cause a riot in here. Amen. Okay. So every, let me say this, because this is vitally important. This is vitally important for your maturity, and it's helped me through the years, and I'm still learning in this area. Every truth in this word has a standing counterpart. Okay? In other words, every truth has also, it's like the other side of the coin. But God does not contradict himself. How many of you know that? He doesn't contradict himself. People contradict themselves when they don't have enough of this word. You see, when people really get off, usually, is they'll find a truth, and man, that, and when I, same way with me, probably with you. When you see a truth, you're like, oh my God, you want to share it with everybody? The only thing is when you see a truth and you realize it as truth and you think it's truth, make sure that it is compatible with and goes along perfectly with every other truth in the Word of God. In other words, no single truth, no truth stands alone. Every truth has to match up with everything of the old and everything of the new, and it has to jive with everything. In other words, if it fits, and so a lot of times people will see one truth and they'll just run with it, and that's all they can see, and they get out of balance, and then they get weird and they get off because they're preaching one particular truth and they're not comparing it with all the other truths of the Word of God. So that's very, very important. So every truth has a standing counterpart, and God does not contradict himself. We contradict ourselves by taking an absolute truth and isolating it without integrating it. Remember that. All truth has to be integrated with every other truth, both sides of the coin. Now let's look at, and I said this morning that we're going to look at Christianity, and sickness. Christians and sickness. Okay, maybe that's the title, Christians and sickness. So we're going to look at five different areas, and we're going to have to cover this kind of quickly because we've got some communion here that's going to come up on us here pretty soon at the end of this service. Let's look at the first area concerning this particular truth. Let's look at an absolute truth concerning sickness, and let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark, second gospel, of course. I'll turn there with you. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, obviously, as we go through this morning, we're going to bypass a whole lot of different truths that could be preached in any of these portions of Scripture. So if you think of a key, like, wow, there's a good point there, or, man, maybe I'd like to hear him elaborate on that. That's not our assignment this morning. Our assignment are to identify why Christians get sick or stay sick, and that sickness is not necessarily always just physical. It can be emotional. It can be a lot of different things. But let's talk about it according to the Word of God. Now, this is Jesus here, and we're going to talk about the parable of the sower, and actually, let's begin reading. We've got quite a bit of reading here. That's why we do have to hurry a little bit. In verse 1 of chapter 4, and he, that's Christ, Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth, some 30, some 60 and some 100-fold, or some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, okay, he's going to explain. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So he let them know that this parable was a real strong key in understanding all the other teachings that he would ever do, that they would hear in the days ahead. The sower soweth the word. In other words, what I'm talking about, Jesus said, is the word of God. That's what I'm talking about. And these are they. He's going to list categories of people, different types of people that receive or don't receive the word of God and how it affects their life. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes how fast? He comes right now, immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when afflictions and persecution arises for the what? The word's sake, immediately they are offended. And we'll read just a little bit more of that. But I want to get this first one across to you, that sickness and disease and sometimes emotional attacks can be just for the blatancy of the word's sake. In other words, you are born again. Then if you have the Spirit-filled, you know, experience, that's icing on the cake. That's a wonderful thing. And then you become the word. Let me read my note here, my notes here. Sickness comes for the word's sake. The word must be stopped from maturing. Every new believer is potentially a world changer. Spiritual, for these three reasons at least, for the spiritual DNA that changes inside of you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and for the one we just read, the word of God. Now, when I say that you're actually a game changer, that you're actually a world changer, most of that goes right over everybody's heads because they're thinking you're stroking us, you're petting us to try to build up an image of the parable so we'll think more of your sermon or you'll drive home the point. That's better yet said. You can drive home the point. That's absolutely as far away from the truth as possible. The moment that you are born again and the word comes in, he said here, and I cannot preach Mark 4, I don't have time. The moment the word of God is preached, a number of different things happen. One, some people, it never ever hits pay dirt. It never even gets in there because as soon as it's sown, immediately Satan comes. And in another one of the Gospels, you understand that they really never even received Christ as their Savior. I mean, he took it away. He took it away. The preacher's preaching or the person across from the coffee table's trying to explain Christ to the person that they're trying to get saved. And they're like, they get it, but they don't get it. You know, I'd rather go smoke one tomorrow night or I'd rather go have my deal or whatever. And it just doesn't make sense right now for me to get saved. It just doesn't make sense. It just is taken away before it ever gets started. The next bunch he begins to describe, but all the ones that he's describing there, he comes down here and he says, for afflictions and all these things, all that includes is sickness, diseases, abnormities in the body, those things that could come and stick. And we're going to cover a number of other different reasons in just a moment. But here he says it is for the word's sake. Everybody say, for the word's sake. Now, that really is a good one in a good sense of the word. Because here's the deal. The maturation, the maturing, in other words, if the corn stalk can ever go from just a seed, and there's a lot of sermons that could be preached this morning, got to go bypass them. If the corn stalk could, if it could go and grow, in other words, You are what you are based on how much word you've put in you and how much has, because a lot of it's going to, you got word coming in and you got word getting taken out. And it's how impeded you get. You say, I'm excited. I'm going to go, woo, I'm really going to serve the Lord after people get, and then all your weaknesses start showing up and word starts being taken out. No, I got it memorized. No. You don't got it memorized unless you're living it. I don't care if you can quote the whole word of God. If you're not living it, you don't have no word in you. Yes, I've got word in me. The word's not in you. It's not in you. Memorization is not word in you. Transformation is word in you. That's what is word in you. In other words, with your walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Thank you. There's many preachers here this morning. I appreciate it. Men and women. Thank you. But it all depends on how long that word can mature. So the fight, the real fight with afflictions, what verse did we get down to? Where were we at? 18? 17, 18? 18. And these are, they were sown on, among thorns. And then he goes on to say, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering, choke the word and becometh unfruitful. And then he lists those who are sown on good ground, hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, and 100 fold. In other words, this bunch, the last, receive the word. Now, all that junk that is listed comes to everybody. It just, if you're born and get born again, it's going to come to everybody. Afflictions, persecutions. The one that we're really just centering in more than anything else is where the word mentions, what verse was it? Afflictions and persecution. 17, and have no room in themselves, endure from time. And when afflictions and persecution arises for the words, that word afflictions, sicknesses, diseases, those kinds of things. But listen, if you're in a raw dog fight and it's because of the word, that's a good place to be. You don't like it, but if it's just because of the word, in other words, Satan wants to get you, and there's a lot of Christians that I know, but see, we got to lay this groundwork. We really do, because we don't want you going out of here misunderstanding, and we don't want you offended right to start with. But here's the deal. This we have to establish. Number one, sickness, disease, not the giving into it, but the pressures of life. They can come, not necessarily solicited, but just because you are potentially a world changer based on the word. Well, I know me, Pastor. I'm not a world changer. Listen, if you allow this word to grow up in you, really grow up in you, and you do what it says, every single person in here, every single person, most people never, ever live up to their potential, but everybody is potentially, based on this, a world changer, truly a world changer. You could get where that based on the maturation of the word inside of you that you're praying for people around you, where you work, your family members, and you're causing a mini revival right where you live. You're every single one of you, and for that reason, Satan has to come, and he has to pull and fight and use every excuse possible to drain the word of God from you. So if you're in a battle because Satan hates you because you're going forward and you've got blinders on, you say, look, I know I got weaknesses, I know I got this, that, and the other, but I'm going to let the word of God correct me, I'm going to let the word of God mature me. That's a good fight. That's a good fight. Everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So number two, let's go to John's gospel. So what would be the first reason that that sickness could come? For what? For the word's sake. Wow, you scholars. How do you guys get so smart? How much is this? It's incredible. For the word's sake. Okay. John chapter 9. And we're going to read in context verses 1 through 7. This is Jesus, is another one of his parts of his healing ministry. Verse John 9:1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And it is his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, again, we don't have time to teach, but I know the history. I know a lot of history on this. There was a doctrine. It's not too different than the doctrines that are even passed around today. It was a doctrine then that because of the babies could have something to do with their, sin had something to do with babies being born with deformities. And of course, the Pharisees would play on that. And it was every direction. It was like not only the parents, but it, as far as I understand, it trickled right down into the conception of the baby. Now, Pastor Dave used to say something that was incredible. He said, how in the world could a baby sin before it was born? You know, did it kick its mother in the rib, you know, like extra or something? I mean, how? So these disciples are repeating a question that they've heard from religion, okay? So you got to get this. We'll read it, and then we'll talk about it just a little bit. His disciples ask him again, verse 2, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God be manifest in him. Okay, right there, this is what you got to understand this. And believe me, if you're a meditator, this is not hard for you. You probably already got this. But for anybody that may be new to this scripture, I'll give you a help here, and I'll give you some inside advice. One, there is no, in the Greek or Hebrew, there is no verses, and there is no chapters, and there is no per se punctuation. It's just like reading a long letter. So, excuse me, King James and a lot of other translators tried to do their best to help us, and they did in a lot of cases, but in some cases they just did a terrible injustice. They did a terrible injustice by putting a period or a next verse, or in many cases, the next chapter. And that's just wrong. I mean, the word that's there is absolute, and that's just how the Greek says it, but it's not the punctuation in the verses are not there. So you have to, when you read Jesus' response, and he says, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Some will use that as their doctrine that God does put sickness on people so that later he can come back and heal them so he can get the glory. And you would have to, like I said from the beginning, you would have to violate a whole lot of other scriptures to get that to pass. And the other thing that you'd have to violate is that in Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four Gospels, you can't find one single place. I mean, you cannot. This is an easy challenge. I don't have any problem thinking anybody's going to come back on this. If they did, it's, whoa. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's no place, not one single hint that anybody ever came before him that he did not immediately heal that person. That's just no questions asked. That's just emphatic. And so Jesus is what? He's the representation of his Father. In other words, it's always, always God's will to heal every individual. And if you don't settle that, then when you go to pray, I don't want nobody praying for me that don't know if it's God's will to pray all the time. It's like, okay, you can. I will let people pray for me at times because it makes them feel better. But it does. I've had people prophesy, I want to give you something. Okay, I'll just stand there and, you know, they're prophesying, and I'm on a deer stand somewhere thinking about, no, I'm not being that mean. But sometimes, you know, people just got, they don't know the word. Bless their hearts. Well, let's read it according to what it actually says. It says this, Jesus said, this is his statement. They ask him, why was this man born blind? Was it he that did it before he was born, or was it his parents? And he just makes, this is the end of his statement, and then he goes on to tell something else. He says, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Bam. That's the end of that discussion. That's the end of that one, okay? Neither one. Now it says, but that the works of God should be manifest, I must work the works of him that sent me. In other words, if God's work is going to be manifest, I've got to work the works of him that sent me. Right now, while it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in this world, I'm the light of the world. Hallelujah. So it just ends the whole thing right there. Okay, answer question. Nobody sinned. Nobody, not this guy or nobody or his parents, that he's blind like this. But if he's going to be healed, I've got to work. I've got a mission. And the mission is this. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is yet day. Now, the night is coming. In other words, I'm going to be taken out of here where no man is going to work. I'm going to be taken out where they're going to work. But he's talking about the end of the age. He's talking about the whole end of everything. So he says here, so he lets us know that. Now, from that, we understand some things. We understand this example shows us that sickness can be, in effect, just because of the fall of mankind. Did you understand that? In other words, Jesus didn't go into some deep theological expose. He just said, look, this man's blind. No, nobody did anything. You know, his parents didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He's just blind because he's blind. Well, you know why he's blind? Because of the fall of mankind. The moment that man fell, Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. This happened at his ministry, which was 4,000. For 4,000 years, when Jesus, God said this. He said to Adam, he said, the moment that you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Now, did he physically die the moment he ate? No, he didn't. Was God a liar? No. He wasn't talking about his external. He was talking about his internal man. But did he eventually die? Yes, he did. From that point on, it took him like 900 years. From that time on, he genetically, and then if you search the scriptures, you find boom, 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 boom. People just, the genetic code process begins to deteriorate to where that in earlier, like in Noah's day and all that, everybody was living hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. And it just progressively got worse and worse, the debilitation of the genetic code and our gene pools. You know, it's not wrong for all, you know, different interracial marriages, but the people would marry over here and they'd have a problem with this in their gene pool, and then another person marry over here and they'd have a problem with their kind of, and everybody kind of got hodgepodged up, and they just brought in all those different genetic defaults, and everything just kept going down and down. And so children are born. People, that's not just this is not a living example just about children being born with deformities. That, it goes way beyond that. The blatancy of this part of the lesson is this. One, sickness can be caused by what? The Word. Help me now. Secondly, it is just because of the fall of man, or just because of genetic code, the genetic breakdown, which is, okay, so that's just the genetic breakdown. Number three. So that's number two. Everybody with me? You got one and two? Okay. So number three is defying wisdom. Okay, let's go to the Old Testament. I know we could have got into some New Testament here, but I wanted to, for one here, this is good. In the Old Testament, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. So in the first two, if you're just in a blatant fight because the devil wants to kick you, your backside, and bring infirmities, or one's there that you're having a hard time getting rid of because of the Word, is that a bad thing? No. I mean, it means you're going forward. If you inherited mom or dad's genetic code, which means more people are prone to certain diseases. Now, here's the great part about that. Based on promises, you can change anything. It don't matter what your mama had, or what your daddy had, or what your race predominantly carries. Based on the promises of the Word of God, you can change anything. Change anything if you stand up to it. Now let's look at the third one. Let's look at Proverbs 4. And we'll look at verses 5 through 8. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Everybody say, wisdom is a principal thing. Exalt her. That's not talking about a woman. It's talking about wisdom. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Number three, the thing that causes many people, much of the church, to be sick is defying wisdom. It's just defying wisdom. Let me talk to you just for a moment about the Christian pass. Let's talk about the Christian pass for just a moment. Christianity came into your spirit. Actually, Christianity is all of us together, but the born again, you know what I'm saying when I say Christianity, okay? Christianity or Christ in you came into your spirit. Everybody got that? All right. Christianity came into your spirit. Christianity can add benefits to your natural body, but nothing happens to your natural body at salvation. Nothing. Your body is just as natural as it was before you were born again. It is still subject to the same laws of nature as anyone else, as how it functions, just because you're a Christian. You have promises, what I just said, you have promises against disease and can change the course of the genetic fall, but it still functions the same way every other human being. Thus, you cannot, okay? This is not a stump speech here, but it's the truth. It's the truth based on wisdom. And we don't have time, but wisdom 1 says, if you defy wisdom, I'm gonna give you the essence of it. If you defy wisdom and later go after foolishness and you just keep defying it, he said through the person of wisdom and the voice of wisdom, I'll mock when your calamity comes. In other words, you hated, he said in chapter 1, he said, you hated wisdom. Therefore, when all of it comes against you, it's not a good sentence. In other words, you can't mock wisdom. You've got to follow wisdom. And so here, let me say this. Thus you can feed, you cannot feed yourself with junk year after year and expect any different results than anyone who is not part of the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? Okay. Why'd y'all leave me? It will break down. Your body will break down in the same similar fashion as a non-believer. Does everybody understand that? In other words, nothing happened to your body when you got born again. And sometimes Christians believe that they get some kind of Christian pass, like I'm born again, so God protects me when I'm putting junk in my body. Now, you can look at me and tell that I am not the personification of putting everything perfect in the body, okay? I'm not a vegan. I love my ribeye steaks, okay? And don't take those away from me. But I don't eat those every night. But what the point is this. This doesn't change, and it's no different than your sinner friends. If their body breaks down because of junk, your body will break down because of junk. I don't know why that y'all stopped liking me all of a sudden. Okay? Because it just functions in the same similar fashion. The body was made, here's another point. You know I'm doing this because I love you, right? Or he's doing. The body was made to move. It is a proven, now believe me, I don't try to look at all this stuff. I just read a whole bunch of stuff. And I know this by reading scientific stuff. It's proven that a living, that a being, get my notes, that being a living a sedimentary life causes the body to begin to break down. You know what sedimentary is? It means just not do much, just sit. It causes scientifically, listen, you, Florida is number one state probably for older people dying. They retire and they come down and they die. And the biggest fallacy, the biggest scam that the devil ever threw on anybody was age and sickness. The reason people die is because they work hard, and then they sit. And science says your body is made to move, and if it doesn't move, it will of its own self begin to shut down. So Christians, sometimes they don't say it, they don't even ever really realize it, but they think they get a pass because they're God's child. Your body doesn't function any different than the world's. And you're not supposed to get old and sick. You're supposed to just, and old, sick, and die. You're supposed to just get old in a good way and then just die. Don't get sick and die, just die. Lord God, don't get sick and die. You're not supposed to get sick and die. But you also cannot defy wisdom. Now, I have a lot of people, sometimes they'll stand in front of me, and I never, ever, God knows, I never... If I ever have anything to say, I'll say it privately, and I'll say it real slow so somebody don't think I'm jumping on them. But sometimes people say, pray for me, for my body. And I will pray the healing stripes over them. But I know that if they don't change something, my prayer is just like throwing a piece of salami up against the wall. It's just not going to stick. It's just going to stick and slide down it. It's only going to last. I mean, it'll make them feel good for the moment, but if they don't do... Faith without works is dead. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. Does everybody understand that? He's trying to help you. Amen. This upsets so many Christians. They often are bewildered by it. They just can't imagine. And I'm going to quote, I'm a child of God. I speak with other tongues. I am full of Scripture. But if you continue to defy dietary principles, it will affect you the same way it does every other non-believer or Christian. It'll just affect you the same way. You don't get a pass. Oh, man. Pastor, I have diplomatic immunity. I'm a child of the Most High. My Father is God. Yeah, you know what? And your Father also created gravity and aerodynamics. And he puts everything, and everybody has to function under the same law. The difference with us, there's a lot of difference, but the difference with us is that the sinner can't do. We can take Scripture, and we can change things with Scripture by our confessions and by our faith. But we also have to have a collaborating work with that, or else that doesn't work. Man, oh man, we do need communion. Y'all need to take it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Y'all are with me. I can feel that. I appreciate it. What we desire is to is this is really this is the crux, and this is really my heart. This is where the Holy Spirit's at. What we desire to do is to bring everything down to just a simple fight of faith. When it comes down to health and conquering sicknesses, just simple, raw, nothing added fight of faith. That fight is one you can win. The fight of faith still requires growth, stamina, character changes, and all those kinds of things. But with the fight of faith alone, if that's the only fight, see, most people are fighting surrogates. They're fighting surrogates. They're sick, but they're fighting surrogates. What are you talking about? I'm talking about there's other things involved. It's not just see, if you can ever boil this thing down, just whittle it down to it's just you and faith, you got to grow to get out of it, well, then that's good. You're doing good. You're going to make progress. But when there's other things involved, like the first one, that we've really mentioned where other things can be involved that can affect it is defying wisdom. If it's just you growing and getting more of the Word of God in you and standing on the Word and just blatantly saying, I call myself healed, and this is an impossible situation, but I call myself healed, you're going to win that eventually. But if you're fighting surrogates, if you're fighting all these other things, and most people are fighting three or four battle fronts, and they don't even know they're fighting. They know the one they know the owie in their body or the emotions in their mind. They know that one. So they're consistently saying against that. But the things that are the feeders that are allowing that to stay in there, they're oblivious to that. They're just oblivious to it. They think they don't even recognize that. And they just keep doing what they're doing and claiming Scripture, but there's no collaboration with the Scripture. So the Scripture and faith is just not working for them, and then they're wondering, what is going on? Why am I not getting healed or walking out of this thing quicker than I should be? Is that helping? Well, thank you. It's the Word of God. It helps me. When the fight of faith alone is the only fight, then you are well on your way to victory. Many Christians are fighting the battle on two fronts and yet are oblivious to the hidden ones. And like I said, you know, perfect example. And you run into Christians, they'll ask you, you know, pray for me. And you know what? I pray for them. And I love them. And I never, ever rebuke anybody in public. And I do not want to embarrass anybody. And if anybody, but a lot of times, just the prayer request, you'll just know. And a lot of times the first thing that happens is, when you start talking like this, your people are thinking, well, you're talking to all the chubby people in the house. Oh no, you can be skinny as a rail and be killing yourself. This applies to all everybody, defying wisdom. Okay, and not getting all that other stuff, exercise and wisdom, exercise, it goes along, it's a collaboration with it. Now let's look at another thing, number four. Is everybody with us so far? Yes. Number four, let's look at John 5. Hallelujah, everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah, there you go. I think I was there and I just got off of John chapter 5. Let's look at the fourth reason. And I'm not giving you an exhaustive list. I'm just giving you five different reasons. This is another episode, of course, always is in these Gospels, of Jesus and his healing ministry. Let's look at five. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. How many of you know sickness, to be sick for 38 years is not a good thing? That's too long. One day in sickness is too long. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now this is amazing. Jesus wanted to know, do you want to be made whole? A lot of people just mechanically think, I'm just going to pray for... Don't ever pray for anybody just because you want to. Ask them. Some people don't want you to. Some people don't want you to. Okay. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. He was at a certain pool where an angel came down, of course. And he thought that was how his healing, that's what Jesus was referring to. But while I'm coming, another step down before me, Jesus answered and said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, is it the Sabbath day? Is it not lawful? It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered to them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, what man is it which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed didn't know, wist not who it was. For Jesus conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And afterwards, Jesus himself finds this man. Jesus looked him up, found him in the temple. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him. Now, you don't find this always. You don't find this always. A lot of the time you don't. Most of the time, maybe you don't find it in Scripture of the people that he healed. But he said to this man, look what he said to this man. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Why? Lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, this is just plain simple. I mean, you don't have to, this is not theology. I don't have to break the Greek down. Jesus said, look, and it makes me think, now this part, it makes me think just by the way he said it, because a lot of people, he would heal them and he'd say, go, or, they would just go, or whatever. He looked this man up and he said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. In other words, what he was saying is, if you want this thing, sin, let me just street talk. If you continue on in sin, if you go back into sin, something worse than what you've been dealing with is going to happen to you. In other words, sin will cause an open door for sickness. Sin, that's just plain right there. And Jesus, basically what he said was, and the way that he said it, and for him to even bring the subject up, it makes me think that, man, this guy did have a real problem. He had something, and maybe even helped introduce this impotency into his body. I don't know that. Now, that I can't really preach, but I can preach this. Jesus said, if you continue in sin or go back into sin, sickness will come back, and it'll even be worse than what you've been dealing with. So, number four is sickness can, or sin can cause sickness in the body of Christ. It can open door. You know, we live in a day, you guys hear me preach it all the time, and I try to be kind, and really we hope that we are the best, because kindness is the only thing. Love is the only thing that'll ever touch. But we live in a day and hour where people are so far off, they don't even catch. They don't even catch it. They don't even know how far off they are. Much of the church, it would be common. It would just be a common thing in a lot of Christianity for somebody with sickness. If a preacher did preach to them that Christ is the healer and that Christ wants you healed, it'd be common to them, it wouldn't be a problem to them to go up to their preacher or other Christians and say, "Look, I've got a sickness in my body. I've been serving the Lord for 4 or 5 years now, and me and the girl that I live with, we are claiming God's promises that I'm going to be healed." And a lot of preachers would say, "Well, brother, just let me give you the scriptures to keep claiming those promises." I can tell you something. If he loves them, he's going to tell them the promises are not working, will not work for you. The promises of healing will not work for you. You can't claim yourself out of it. You can't confess yourself of it. You can't pray to God. The thing that a loving pastor or a loving Christian would say, look, you're defying Scripture. You're living in sin. This sin gives a wide open door of access for Satan to come and attack your body. Sin can cause, not all cases. I like, if I'm going to be in a fight, and if something's coming against my body, I want to boil it down to it's just because the Word's sake. I don't want some other area in my life given some license, because you can just confess the Word all you want to all day long and all night. And the preacher would say, look, honey, here's the deal. Y'all go home and separate. Or if y'all love each other and if you want to cohabitate, go get a license and I'll marry you. But you are in sin. And that sin, well, Pastor, I believe he's a loving God and he'll uphold his word because he just loves people. He's not a liar. To say that, you're saying God is a bald-faced liar. That he can say something, he can tell you that sin will destroy your life, and then he'll uphold his promises in another area. Now, this is, somebody said, man, this is just old fire and brimstone. No, it's just the Word of God. It's just the Word of God. And he loves people. So it's real simple. Stop and confess. Keep doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's another thing. It's not just the dietary things. People come to me, they'll say, Pastor, please pray. Okay, what is it? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. And I know darkness is there, and you know better. Now, I'm never going to pull your laundry out in front of, but until you stop that darkness, that thing in your body has got a right to be there. As long as, I'm going to clarify this. If you're a baby, I mean, just got saved and you don't know nothing, you're more, because he healed a lot of, Jesus healed sinners, didn't he? Yes. He healed sinners. But after he rose from the dead, those people started getting born again. They started becoming a part of an elite club, which was called the body of Christ. Now, it didn't take long for them to listen to the words of the apostles before they stopped being babies and growing up. But you get 4 or 5 years in the Lord, and you're doing junk, and then you want prayer for healing, I'm going to pray for you, but if you'll give me 5 minutes with you, my counsel with you will do better than my prayer for you. Because I'll tell you how to do it yourself. I'll tell you how to do it yourself. Well, I can't do that right now, Pastor. Well, I can't, honestly, I can't help you. My hand's tied. I can't help you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Did I tell you that we're going to eat meat today? Or did y'all just want a woo service? Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, number 5. We do have to hurry, don't we? Y'all, because y'all want to eat the Lord's Supper, and then y'all want to go have a hamburger, don't you? And a milkshake. Glory be to God forevermore. Number 5. Let's look at number 5, is living outside of love and living in contention and living in offenses or division. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's where we'll have communion at here in just a moment or two. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's look at verse 17. Try to save as much time here. We're doing good. Everybody say we're doing good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Paul, he's going into, stuff that we can't get into. He's talking about authority and coverings and all those kinds of things. But now he's going to talk to the church at Corinth. If we go back in the first part of Corinthians, he gets a letter from the house of Chloe. And the house of Chloe, somebody's telling on somebody. They're telling on all the Corinthians. Paul, I got to let you know. And I can tell you that once the Corinthian church, when the courier brought the letter and read it, and God bless the house of Chloe, because when Paul let them know that Chloe had spilled, had ratted on them, woo, them people of that household, they were not the most popular. And Paul's getting some of his information from them. And the first thing that the house of Chloe let them know is that there's division. There's offenses. There's strife in the church. Now, it's amazing to me. A lot of times people will use their weaknesses, scripture, for their weaknesses. And they'll talk about, well, it was going on then, and this is what it says about that. Listen, do you know he says in his word that he's coming back after a glorious church? I'm not doing any injustice to the Word of God. The Word of God's our solid foundation. We're supposed to be, by the time He gets back, anything that you leave, and if it's had 2,000 years to mature, it's supposed to look better than it did when you left it. We're not supposed to get back to where the first church was at. We're supposed to go where the first church was at and bypass it like it was in reverse and going backwards. We're supposed to go to a place where the first church said, you know what? We were birthed for you. We were the foundation. We were the foundation fathers and mothers. And if somebody says, well, it was going on. Listen, we've had 2,000 years to grow up. They're the beginning. They're just the beginning. We're headed somewhere, but we can't give any excuses. Amen? So he says here, he's going to talk about, and we're using it as one of our points, as why Christians get sick and stay sick and those kinds of things, or can. So we've given you a lot of different options, and we've given you just the blatant fight of faith. Well, I'm just going to assume that every single one of you, if you're fighting anything in your body, is just in a good fight of faith. I'm going to give you that. Hallelujah. That's the way I'm going to look at you. And then I'm going to let you judge yourself. Okay? Hallelujah. Now in this, verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. In other words, this is what he's about to write to them in this next little part, is not a brag. And he's fixing to use his fatherly authority to say, I'm not real happy with you guys. I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. In other words, he's saying you're meeting and you're getting together, and the meeting that you're getting together for, it's out of order. This is not working, and it's not going to work, and we're going to stop this right now. And so he says, you're not getting for the betterment. In other words, there's no growth coming out of this, but it's for the worst. For the first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there is divisions among you. Oh, Chloe, right there, I guarantee you. I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies. You know what heresies are? It's taking doctrine and twisting it. Man-made doctrine. Things that are just absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And so he says here, let me get right back here, I lost it here. He says, I partly believe it, for there must be also heresy among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. In other words, there were men coming to power, and they were approved. When he says they were approved, their popularity among these factions, in other words, there was groups. In the first part of this book, there were groups coming up and saying, well, my preacher's Paul, and the man I like to follow is Paul. Well, no, the man I like to follow is Cephas or Peter, and others. Well, no, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of this pastor or this preacher. And he says that was only indicative. And he says all of us guys, we're all just Christ's. We're all of one thought, and that's the soundness of his doctrine. But he says all these other identifying factions, it just, when factions start in the church, and somebody says, well, I really like it better how he says it or how she says it. He says, right there lets me know that there's heresy, because there is no factions in Christ. Just because there's divisions where 8 or 10 are saying, I like the way he says it or she says it, or they, right there tells you that there is, that what they're saying is not right. Because if everybody was saying what, it's just supposed to be one thought, absolutely one thought. Faction says heresy. Always believe that. When there's division in the church, there's also heresy. Everybody got that? Hallelujah. He says this, for there must also be heresy among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, he says, don't get together and have your... Now, it's all right to have dinner on the grounds and our Christmas fellowships and all that, but he says, don't intermingle it. Let this communion be something that's so separate and sacred that you know what you're doing. The reason why is because of what he says this is supposed to accomplish. For in eating, every one of you, like when they all are all coming together, just having this big banquet and then just throwing in communion on top of it. He says, for in eating, every one of you take before the other his own supper. In other words, it wasn't a potluck where everybody come together. It was individuals coming and bringing their food and having a festivity. And Of course, if that was me, I'd just go right over and start eating what you got anyway. You know, I just dig into your tacos no matter what. It wouldn't matter. And if David brought his ribs, I'd just go over there and wrestle him for it. He'd probably beat me, but I'd still wrestle him for it. But here's the deal here. He says, For in eating, every one of you taketh away or taketh before him his own supper, and one is hungry and the other is drunken. And he says, what? Now, that seems like a 21st century, what? But Paul coined that. What? 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 Have you not houses to eat and to drink, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord. Now he's going to talk about what this is all about, communion. I've received of the Lord. In other words, Paul wasn't there in the first communion. You know he wasn't there. But he had to have a visitation from Christ. And this is what he received from the Lord. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now let's just stop right there for just a moment, and we're getting real close, and we're going to have communion. He said, look, there's these factions, heresies, there's division, and part of all this division is the way you're even conducting your communion services. But then he brings communion into this, and he brings it in not only as something that is tradition or something that the Lord says, this will identify you with my death, burial, and resurrection. This will always be part of everything that you do as a body. But it also here is the exact remedy for. He's quoting, or he's giving the actual solution for, or the remedy for, these factions that take place. And these factions are taking place, and as they are, there's offenses taking place. There's strife taking place. Now, this particularly is over doctrine, okay? But across the board, what we're about to read, I'm going to tell you what we're going to tell you. One of the things that will make or cause Christians to be sick and to stay sick and not get rid of it and even die that way and still go to heaven is strife in their life. Or you can say it this way, because sometimes people say, I don't feel like punching them. Well, let's just say it like this. Let's take it another level. Walking as a supposed to be mature believer, a father or mother, and I can tell you this, and I might as well get on this soapbox and preach it because it's the one the Holy Spirit wants me to get on right now. A father or mother in the faith, or young men or young women that are aspiring to that, you're a whole lot more accountable than children. Whole lot more accountable. And just your walk of love, just your walk of love will indict you. Just your walk of love will keep you sometimes from getting to that place where something is alleviated or taken out of your body. Well, prove it. Okay, thank you. That's a good question or a good statement. God, thank you for that challenge. Thank you. Let's see if we can prove it. He says that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, because of this, because of everything I just told you, and because of what communion is supposed to do, help settle strife and offenses and bring back the love. He says, because of this, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty. It's an offense against the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. I like this part. See, you always got the option. That's good. Let a man examine himself, or I'm going to put in there herself or themselves. And so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. In other words, in preface to eating and drinking that cup, examine yourself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, what's the damnation there? Well, he goes on, he's about to list it. For this cause, many are weak. That word in the Greek is feeble. In other words, I know 75-year-olds that can't hardly walk across the room. And I know some 75-year-olds that I see at these races and stuff, they're unbelievable. See, you can be a young 70 or an old 70. You can be a young 80 or an old 80. No, I didn't say an old lady. I said an old 80. Okay? But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning. This cause many are weak. That word weak is feebleness. You're not supposed to get feeble as you get old. The word says, Moses was 120 and his eye was not dim, nor his natural strength abated. That's how, you know, Moses, now he was even past the cut. He wasn't back there in Noah's day, okay? He was in the era in which we're living. So we do have a 120-year promise, and he says his natural strength was not abated. That means he could pick up at 120 the same sack of grain and walk off with it that he did when he was 40 years old. Just the same thing. Well, I'm getting old. Well, you can get old, or you can get old and young, or young old, or something like that. Amen. So he says here, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sickly. Now, what will cause sickness? Division. Do you see that? Division and strife and not walking in levels of love that you're supposed to be walking in. It'll cause it. He says, and many sleep. Now, that word sleep is the same one where he talks about that not all will sleep. So he's not many, the many that he's talking about here, he's not saying that the church, all these that he's describing, was going to hell. What he was saying is this, he's saying they're just feeble and they got all kind of junk in their bodies and many of them are just dying way before they should die because they got this stuff in them. And I'm telling you, you can just claim the promises all day long, and unless you get this stuff out of you, especially the older you get in Christ, the promises are not going to work for you. They just won't work for you. Hey, well, that's just good preaching. Thank you. And I appreciate that. He says this, if we do what? If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Okay, here's two judges, or two different kinds of judgment. One, you get to participate in. And in other words, you're the one that gets to initiate it or participate in it. In this, you can say, okay, I'm going to take this communion, and I'm aware of that there's sickness in my body, or there's things there that shouldn't be there, and it can be just a fight of faith, and a fight of faith means you've forgiven everybody, and you're to the best of your ability walking in love. To the best of your ability. But if there's things there that he says here, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, and the Greek says, but when God kind of, the way the Greek kind of bears it out, but when God kind of helps us with this, or when it's a godly judgment, that's kind of how it says it, kind of a godly thing. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. You know what chastening is? The word chastening means child. Man, I read on it, and it's beautiful. I'd read it many, many times before. I read it again last night. or maybe this morning, I think it was last night, and I read the expanded. It just means nurturing. Listen, chastening, you know what the chastening of the Lord is? Is when the Holy Spirit, really, the first place of chastening takes place in your spirit. Really, right? I mean, when you sin, when you do something, if you do something tomorrow that you're not supposed to do, somebody cuts you off and you cuss, okay? You know, that thing that clicks real quick on the inside of you and you say, Lord, forgive me, that is not necessarily the Holy Spirit per se. That's your new nature. Your new nature knows. Well, I didn't know it was wrong to steal. Well, then you need to come get saved. Because, 5 minutes after you're saved, you know. And I can't wait till the masses start coming in here. We're going to have all them little boys, young men and young women coming in here, just been living together for all the time, and they get saved. We're going to have hundreds of them get saved, and they just, whoo, they get so happy, and we take them out to lunch, and they get home, and they get ready for bed, and then they realize, oh, wait a minute, we can't do this. Let's call Pastor. Pastor? We got home, we realized we're going to conduct life like we normally do. We can't. Something on the inside said, no. And I'll say, yeah. Tell him go get on the couch. We'll meet tomorrow. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he says here, but when we're chastened, and that's when the Holy Spirit combines with our spirit and nurtures us. Say, honey, you can't do that no more. You got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. Well, this is what communion is, and this is the crux of it. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgression. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, or was upon him, and what? With his stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah. Now, that healing is not just for our physical body, but the people that you don't like. That's for you to get healing on the inside. Then the promises will work for you. Because as long as you hate them, it's not going to really work for you. But go to the root. And if there's sin in your life, you can go to the root and get that out. I think we covered some good stuff, don't you? He says here, let's finish it up. But when we are judged, we're chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. For that tarrying really was so that you could take care of business, get all of it cleansed, washed, get it under the blood. There's two judgments here, really. It's quite simple, and we left this last one for last, and we need to go ahead and have communion. But one is a self-imposed judgment, or else, if you don't judge yourself, then you enter into a judgment that is a judgment that the world is judged under. And how many of you know this? Well, if you don't, I'll just tell you real quick. The world is judged. The world is going to be judged. And the world has no promises. The world can't claim the promises for healing. And the world can't walk in divine health. But you can. But there's a lot of Christians that are their infirmity. Now, again, everybody I know, I'm going to just assume, I'm just going to have a godly assumption that you're just, what you're fighting is that you've just whittled it down to just a fight of faith. But if not, get all them other things off. Get all them other things off. Because if you're walking in strife, then you've walked into a level of judgment, a level of judgment. So because I'm not going to go to my notes, but y'all help me here because, you know, I've been preaching for a while, and I know y'all want me to get on with business. But one is what? The word's sake, so sickness can come from the word. And then what's the other one? DNA, just plain genetics. Just plain genetics. And then what's the other one? Defying what? Defying wisdom. You can defy wisdom and still, you don't get a hall pass just because you're a Christian. What's the next one? Just plain old sin. Just plain old sin. And what's this one? Strife, offenses, divisions. And it causes you go from one category to another. One, you're in a category of chastening. Now, I don't like it, but I like it. I like the chastening of the Lord because he'll whip you on the inside, but he loves it. He whips you like a father. But if you don't take that whipping, If you don't take that conviction, then eventually you're going to step over into another category. It's called judgment. And that's when things can exist in your body. And you know what? Through the years, and again, it's not my place. It really is not my place. And I want everybody to go home with as a pastor, not just in this church, but in many, many, many other situations, people die or people just live with all kind of infirmities in their life. And the body at large is looking like, we don't get it. You know, the body of Christ has lived so long with unanswered prayer that it causes a disposition inside of them that like, well, God's this kind of ideological kind of being that he will sometimes and he won't sometimes. Knowing God was not just meant for faith on a blatancy of his word. Now, that's the bottom line. I'll give you that. That's what would blatancy. But knowing God also for the church was we were supposed to know his existence, not only on a blatancy of the word, but he's a living God. In other words, we should know him on a continual basis because all our prayers are getting answered. I mean, they're just all getting answered and all kinds of supernatural things. And we've come to a place in Christendom at large is that very few prayers get answered. And then people get excited about, they get so excited about prayers when they get answered. And I hope I never get to the place where I take prayers answered for granted. But you know, in the revival, it's supposed to be like, wow, that's wonderful. Well, Pastor, well, that's wonderful. But this is going on all the time, every day, every moment. All kinds of people are getting healed. And eventually we won't get benign to it, but we'll get used to it in a sense like this is the way it's supposed to have been all the time. And a lot of times people die or people just be sick. You know, elders in different places and people go and people in the body of Christ and people and the body of Christ is just like we don't understand and I'll know. I mean, I don't know everything, and I certainly don't know a lot of times I won't know the reason why, but a lot of times I do know the reason why. And a lot of times people are saying they claim the word of God and they were the best kind of, yeah, and they're in heaven. You know what? They are in heaven. But I know exactly the reason why the sickness stayed around. And I know exactly, it just, to me, it bothers me that God's big enough. He's a big enough fella, he can defend himself. So I don't ever step in and try to defend him. But I know a lot of times people are indicting God like, why is this thing not happening? Well, I can tell you the reason why. There's reasons why. Claiming his word's not going to fix the problem. It just won't fix the problem. They need to judge themselves. And a lot of times that's the situation. That's the situation. And the body of Christ at large doesn't understand that, but you understand that as an individual. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's all pray together. I'll pray, and then we'll receive both the body and the blood together. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we've not exhausted your word this morning, but we've given understanding in principle, not in formulas. We're asking you this morning that we understand that this communion is the one that the Lord instituted. It is not a formula, but it is a godly principle. It's a God thing. It's something, the Lord, that you use. And Father, I'm asking you personally, if there's anybody in my life or anything in my life that is in darkness, bring it to light. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. Lord, if there's anybody that I love less than I should, then I'm asking forgiveness on that. I'm asking for cleansing on that. I'm asking you to guide me and help me to know how to love that person more than I've ever loved that person and pray for that person. Father, I pray that all of these and all the body of Christ will walk in a greater degree of unity in the days ahead. And we thank you, Lord, because with your stripes we're healed. Now we stand and we give no excuse for anything that could hold back the healing. And if we're going to fight for a while for things to change, then let it be just a blatant fight of faith with nothing else attached to it, nothing to keep us from receiving our exact objective, and that is to receive perfect health. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive and thank you for this body and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.